Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Wells.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Welcome in. This is In This League, live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It is Scott Bogman. It is Chris Welsh. It's 3 hours of Bogman, 2 hours of Welsh, because I'm dipping out in the last hour. Bogman, dipping.
That's right.
Dip I'm out everything here soon.
I am not actually dipping. I haven't dipped since 2012.
Good
I think
for you.
It was.
Good
so,
for you.
No, 2009. It's been 10 years now.
Is it really?
So yeah, and it's been 10 years.
Wow.
So,
wow.
I've probably put on about 85 pounds since I quit,
yeah.
But, you know.
I quit smoking, and that was probably, God, 2006 or 2007. So, I mean, 12 or 13 years, and I probably put on 540 pounds, something close to that.
It's just the way it goes, right?
Yep. You're going to die one way or another. We just chose not the way of nicotine and
yeah,
mouth
I'd
cancer.
Yeah, keep all my teeth until I go.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. We'll just, you know, lose our limbs. Keep our teeth, lose our legs and feet from diabetes. Hey, Bogman, I do have a question for you.
All right.
On one hand, name the amount of things that you would cut your D off for.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Zero things.
Really?
Not a thing.
Almost shocked. Nothing you would cut little Mr. Bogman off for in your life.
It's little and it's mine. I'm keeping it. So,
money.
I mean,
is there an amount of money?
There's no amount of money.
You can't say women because then,
well,
you
yeah,
know,
because what's the point?
Yeah, what's
right,
the point?
Yeah.
Well,
what do you need the money for if you're not trying to
if it's not
women.
For women, it's not for money, then it truly is nothing whatsoever.
Yes.
And when I saw Mike Vrabel pulled the ultimate, like, guys being dudes talking about hardo guy dude things by saying he would literally cut off his D to win a championship with the Titans. And all I was like, didn't he already win like four of them with the Patriots? Like, didn't
yeah,
you need one as a
enough.
Coach? You need one. You need to be validated that much. Ah, nothing worse than super uber successful people that are like, yeah, I won some Emmys and, you know, I've been in one of the most successful franchises and I've made $50 million. But like, I haven't won an Oscar. And it's like, well, you know what? Go jump off a bridge. You're the worst person ever. Like, I hope. I mean, if they want to win it. Okay, I shouldn't say that. If they want to win it, it's fine. But to be like, I'd cut it off to get that thing. Like, really? Are you that motivated? You're that motivated, Vrabel?
That is like, you know, impressing women is like what you do stuff for. I mean,
well, but he
you
is
know,
married,
outside of like
so.
Living,
yeah,
you know,
he's married.
You have to pay your bills. Okay. Yeah. And he actually said on the show that she would cut it off.
I mean, it's probably a mutually beneficial agreement. I think that's part of the process.
That can't be right. I find it weird that this is news. Like, and
what,
that
he would cut his wang off.
Well, like that people are writing articles about it. I think it's flippant and a funny thing to say, but I don't think, you know, I don't think if the devil came up to you and said, look, we can make this happen, but it's going to cost you your penis.
You don't think Belichick's already done that? Speaking of the devil,
I think everybody would be like, no, thank you. So maybe Bill Belichick was like, well, you know, I don't use it that often and I've been married for a very long time. And yeah, let's go ahead and do that. I want 7 championships, though.
Robert Kraft's like, if someone would have got that out of me, I wouldn't be in so much trouble.
There's no way I would do it. What's the point of having planes and driving to Florida if you're going to just lose a little Kraft? So little macaroni and cheese. It's not going anywhere for me.
Oh, man. I don't know. It was the dumbest, weirdest story I saw all weekend. I don't know. For some reason in my brain, there was something that you would have done. but I guess not. Like, for some reason, I was like, ah, oh, there's something Bogman would be like, oh, that's
how
the
thing.
How
could you possibly think that? I don't know. Maybe it's because, for the most part, I ignore the opposite sex right now, but it's because I'm not satisfied with, you know, where I am. It's not really about them, but it's there's just no way. Like, what is the point of living? You know, I don't see it.
What is love? Baby, don't hurt me. No more.
Yeah, exactly. I want endless love, not no love again ever. Yeah. So
I won't be around for endless love this week. That'll be the case. So here's what's going on the show today. 2 hours of me and Boggs. I'm ducking out in the last hour, and Bogman is going to continue his brainwashing series of college fantasy football. Why you need... Okay, are you going to maybe move away from, like, here's why you got to play, to, like, here's the awesomeness of it, and talk about the players? Like, so what's going to be this? Is it going to be selling it again?
I can tell that you didn't listen to the last segment, last hour that we did. It's fine.
Last week?
Welsh? No. Yeah, exactly.
I wasn't here. So.
Well, you haven't. Look, I'm like a meth dealer for CFF, okay? Because I know once you get that one hit in you, you're not leaving. So all I got to do is get your hooks in one time.
Yes,
and you're coming back to CFF. So,
all right.
Yeah, magnets, bitch. Let's go.
Okay, so that's the plan. So you're not going to try to sell it. You're going to talk about maybe some of the intricacies of college fantasy football in hour three.
Yes, exactly. And that is going to be with my partner in crime over at the ITL College Fantasy Football Podcast, Blaze Sinopoli. So Blaze and I are going to be talking some CFF.
Is that his
CFF.
Real name? That's not his real name.
That's his real name. It's Blaze. Yeah.
Sinopoli?
Sinopoli. He's very Italian. No, it's Italian. Very, very Italian.
Oh.
Him and Joe are probably cousins.
It's not Greek. What am I thinking of? What's the one that everyone makes fun of?
That's Greek.
No,
it is.
No, it's not Greek. It's like...
It's Greek. It's the one that's 17 letters long. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's what I'm thinking of.
Giannis Antetokounmpo. Greek.
Oh, is it Greek?
Yes. Oh. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I guess it is. It's Sinopoli for some reason.
I think I pronounced it wrong, and it's actually Sinopoli, which sounds way
okay.
More
well,
Italian.
How you said it was Greek, how you just said it is the most Italian name I've ever heard.
Well, I'm not going to Sinopoli. I'm not Italian, so I don't. When I said it and I said Sinopoli, he did not correct me for 3 years.
I was thinking about that just the other day with our guy John Duplantier, where I remember when I interviewed him last year, I 100% started and I was like, John Duplantier, and he just didn't blink. Like he didn't stop.
He's got to be so used to people butchering it. Yeah. It's like your real last name. It's ridiculous.
But there's a culture. There's a culture of people. There's two types of people in that world. And it is, they are immediately correcting you. And they're going to fix that problem. Or,
do you know how many people call me Bogman? People can't get a six-letter word right, you know?
Yeah, but I'm just saying is there's the people that let it go. And they just are like, that's fine. You know, we'll move on. They're not going to do anything. And then there's the people that are immediately going to correct you. And sometimes I want to be corrected. Like, if I say it wrong, like get it right, man. Don't give up on life so much.
I would prefer to be corrected too. Yes. I think in general, you want to get somebody's name right, because at the end of the day, what do you have outside of your name? You don't have much. So get the name right.
Yeah, that's true. By the way, speaking of Breaking Bad, did you see the big online backlash that was put on Bryan Cranston and Aaron
Paul? Yeah, because
Aaron
Paul? It's not for a Breaking Bad thing.
So
right?
So here's what they did. If everyone followed, they sent out this one tweet, and it was like soon. And I don't remember what the first picture was. It was something, and it was. But they both tweeted. Oh, it's a picture of a couple donkeys, and it was they both tweeted it, and everyone's like. And then the next one was like really soon, and it was both of them treading through like the rainforest, and everyone was losing their mind. Well, earlier this week, they finally, I think it was like Wednesday or something, they finally announced what it was, which 99% of people assumed this was a Breaking Bad thing because the movie that's going to be coming out, and they drop that the two of them decided to start what is the alcohol? I don't know what
tequila?
It's called.
Tequila?
No, it's not a tequila. It's like I was saying mescaline, but it's not mezcal. Mezcal? Mezcal?
What?
Mezcal.
Okay.
Yeah. How do I say mezcal? Am I saying it right?
Mezcal, yeah.
Mezcal.
I didn't know that was a drink. Is that a type of tequila?
It's something like that.
From agave.
Yeah, well, I think that's it. Hold on, we're going to play a video here. Let's see if I can hear it on my computer.
I cannot
hear. Mezcal.
Mezcal. I think Mezcal. That's a brand of tequila, though, right?
No, I don't think so. Okay, let's find out. What is it? What is Mezcal? I think what it is
M-E-Z?
What's the difference between tequila and Mezcal? Well, I'm going to tell you. Tequila is a type of Mezcal, much like how scotch and bourbon are types of whiskey. And according to spirits writer John McCavey, I can't say anybody's name right now. Everything is wacko to me. Mezcal is defined as an agave-based liquor or liqueur. I don't know which one.
Liqueur.
This includes tequila, which is made in specific regions of Mexico. Blee, blah, blue, blah, blee. So it's along the lines of a tequila. And they do this whole big story where they're like, you know, we on the sets, we decided we wanted to do something together and we joked about it. And then they decided to do it. And they literally went out into deep Mexico. And they were literally like traveling and they found some small town to find the perfect, they did the perfect storytelling across this. Nobody cared about it. Everyone was pissed. They got
Isn't it going to be like no one buys this now because they're so mad though?
No, everybody was actually tweeting. They're like, I am so mad and I'm going to tell everybody how mad I am over a glass of Dos Hombres Mezcal, which is their brand. That's why the two donkeys were there and they decided
Dos Hombres.
To do that. Yeah, Dos Hombres.
Shouldn't it be Los Hermanos?
I mean, if they were really thinking it through, Los Hermanos. But, like, what does Hermanos mean?
Brothers.
Oh, Dos Hermanos?
Yeah.
Dos Hombres?
What's the real name? Hombres is two guys.
Dos Hombres, yeah.
Two dudes.
Yeah, and that's what they decided. They really should have gone with the Chicken Shack thing. Or Blue. They should have had it like Blue Mezcal. That's what that would have been.
It
good.
Should be called I Am the One Who Drinks.
That would have been good.
I almost
good.
Got you through your water right there. Yeah, I could hear it.
You're actually drinking a cherry Dr. Pepper.
Oh, look at that. I like that.
A little bit of an upper there. So that's what's on the line as we continuously and beautifully here waste some time of what's in store for hour three when I'm not here and all of the craziness that life has right now. But, Bogman. We just dropped on Friday the Mock Draft 4.0 episode over on the In This League Fantasy Football podcast. And we were kind of setting the stage for a few stories that were going on that we might even bring here. But then something happened in between the recording of the episode into like when we were going to have to, post it and whatnot. And it was actually, I found it relatively important news, but I definitely saw people kind of being like, well, this has been going on. Like, we all saw this coming. Like, there's a lot of people that were like, yeah, I mean, everyone wants to be a contrarian. So they were trying to contrarian this to being like, well, this is not news. It's like, no, it's totally news. And it is reported that Melvin Gordon's agent said that there is, quote, a strong possibility his client will hold out into the season, barring a new contract or trade. And furthermore, Adam Schefter had just reported before that Gordon's going to skip training camp and demand a trade if he does not get a new deal. So Schefter's words are a little bit bigger. Gordon's agent coming out and threw a little bit of shade even on that by saying strong possibility, which gives them an out. Bottom line, it has now created the most uncomfortable doubt of doubts around Melvin Gordon because, and you and I talked about this yesterday just on the phone, just between you and I, we have a study case for this, and everything that could have gone wrong for the fantasy owner did, because a player last year threatened to hold out, held out, said he was coming back, found a loophole, held out the entire season, and on top of everything, this offseason, this one now, they got paid. There is a path for a young running back to do this exact thing because it has been done to success by Le'Veon Bell, and that scares the crap out of me with Melvin Gordon.
I don't know if I would call it success with Le'Veon Bell.
Why? He got his money.
Yeah, but he was offered more money by the Steelers. So
no,
he didn't
it wasn't.
Take
but it.
It
wasn't guaranteed though.
It was. Yeah, it was more money. He would have gotten more money if he had signed the initial deal the year before.
Well, so. Okay, but there's that thing. Like he walked out and he got didn't he get the most guaranteed money by a running back?
Yeah, but the Steelers still offered him more. They offered him $75 million.
Okay, so. to your point then, though, yes, that may be true on the surface.
But he still got paid.
Yeah, like, on the surface, it doesn't matter. He held out. He went back into free agency and got the highest guaranteed contract by a running back in NFL history.
So, a year less damage on his body, too.
Yeah, so you take all of those markers. That is a path to success for a guy like a Melvin Gordon or anyone that chooses to do this. Obviously, this is all just, you know, nonsense if he gets paid and we don't have to worry about it. But this scares the ever-living crap out of me now after last year where I don't know about you guys listening. I definitely did some of this where I was like, no, I'm not worried about that. Le'Veon Bell, he's going to play. You know, he's one of the best in the NFL. He's going to threaten, and then he's going to come out, and he's going to play in his contract year, and he did not. And that scares the crap out of me for the investment that you have to put into Melvin Gordon. Melvin Gordon is an absolute maximizer of touches because I was looking. I don't think he had 20 touches as far as carries go. I'm sorry, 20 carries the entire year last year, but he's such a force in that offense, which is pretty high powered, and he maximizes those touches. So you know, it's almost like an Alvin Kamara type of thing.
Right.
So he's really sexy from that standpoint, but there's other guys that might be a notch down from him that just, I think Todd Gurley right now comes with less risk than Melvin Gordon.
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And I think that you kind of have to put those guys together as far as concerns go. You know what I mean? Which, for me, I don't think that Todd Gurley offers us too many concerns. And he even came out and said that, but we'll talk about that later. But
yeah,
that's kind of the stuff that we have to worry about as far as where you're going to take. Are you going to put your risk into a guy that can hold out? Or are you going to put your risk into a guy with a knee injury? Or are you being the ultimate cautious person and saying, I can't draft either one of these guys right now? It's a sticky situation.
Yeah, and there's others that are in there, too. So when we come back, we got to kind of dig into this because Melvin Gordon's draft ability is a question. There's a lot of other running backs that have variations of risk. There's the question of, okay, there's all this risk, but guess what? We got to get these workhorses and we got to take the risk. And then there's just the draftability of the guys that might come later with the value, a la Austin Ekeler. So don't go anywhere. Bogman of the Welsh, more in this league coming up right after this.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
The snozzberries taste like snozzberries.
I'm freaking out, man.
You are freaking out, man.
Littering and...
Littering and...
Littering and...
Smoking
in this league.
Break it down.
The All-Star break is over. MLB is back. Swing for the fences. Playing daily fantasy baseball with DailyRoto.com. Become the 8th Daily Roto lineup optimizer user to win $1 million in a FanDuel or DraftKings tournament. Really got to emphasize the $1 million when I say it. $1
million. $1
million. Or you can become one of the countless number of people who have won thousands of dollars playing DFS. If you're playing MLB DFS and not using DailyRoto.com, you're doing it wrong, friends. Enter promo code FNTSY for a 10% discount, and you get lineup alerts, projected ownership percentages, weather updates, fantasy projections, and use of the same daily lineup optimizer that have produced millions in DFS winnings. That's the 2019 MLB Daily Roto Premium Package at DailyRoto.com. Use promo code FNTSY and get your 10% discount today. Easier for me to say, I think, total. I did pretty good on there. It's like a 85%.
Yeah, B minus.
Yeah. If we were grading it, it was like, is it B minus, really? That was like
B minus. Yeah, you had that one stumble.
Yeah, but that knocked me down from an A plus down to a B minus?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a stumble. I mean, look, you know.
Yeah, but I didn't screw the pooch.
If you had a pause, I think you go from A plus with a flawless read. I think if you have a weird pause in there, it goes down to an A, a couple weird pauses, B plus, and then a stumble. makes you B minus. So see, I mean, pretty good. Better than I could have done. I'm over here D pluses. That's why I don't read them.
See,
so.
I think it was closer to a B because, like, if you stumble and then have to restart the sentence because of the stumble, then you get into the C territory. It was a slight stumble.
Look, if we're grading on a curve, you're probably getting an A minus, but we're not. Yeah. It's we're just going straight up with what it is. So B minus. You're much better than that read.
I'm better than that. Okay. So yeah, be better than that.
You have done so much better. I expect our twos read to go way smoother.
The worst part about these is I have this like mental thing that happens where I'm like, when I get 50% through a read and I'm like, I am nailing this. Like, I'll mentally start thinking about it. It's like the perfect game. I'm like, I am destroying this read. And then you get a little cocky, maybe a little lazy. Maybe you try to look a little further into the sentence. And then that's where the stumble comes. And then you go from an A plus to a B minus.
Yeah. I mean, look, I've been reading our emails for a while in the last couple of weeks. Cool. I've been real bad. Yeah, it's been brutal. Yo, listen to you.
Well, no, but it has been. But what happened? What's happened to you? The last two shows have been a bad streak. I expect much better from you. It's been a bad streak.
There's also been some poorly formed emails that we have.
Incredibly poorly formed emails, that's for sure. But is it this whole, like, Bachman yesterday, we were talking, we had to, like, record something, and he calls me, and I was like, well, dude, it's, like, 2 p.m. I'm like, I can't do this now. And I'm like, I thought we might do it a little bit earlier, but I figured you were sleeping or something. Bachman's like, yeah, I slept in a little bit later because I went to bed at 7:30 a.m. And I was like, what?
Well,
what
dude,
has happened to you?
This is what I think happened, is I normally take my sleeping pill, right? And I'm doing stuff. I was actually putting ranks together because Blaze and I are recording our running back rankings for college fantasy football. We're doing that this week. So I was getting to a finishing point with that. I have my sleeping pills up by my water, and I'm like, did I take that? Pretty sure I took that. And I don't want to take two because I don't know. You know, I don't know about pills and, you know, taking too many and that kind of stuff.
It's usually with drinking, though. But, like, I don't think two sleeping pills are going to.
Well, also, I didn't want to sleep till 4 p.m. So, you know.
Yeah. I mean, that would have been good for you, to be honest with you. You should have just. Well, no, actually, we talked about it. You should have just stayed up and reset your clock.
Either way. Right. So I'm like, I'm pretty sure I took that pill, and I was tired because it was 4, you know, it was 4 when I'm wrapping my stuff up. So I'm like, all right, time to get into bed. And I get into bed and I'm playing this stupid phone game and listening to a podcast, and I'm kind of getting tired. It's just like a word search game. So it's like a crossword game.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
5 in the morning, you're sitting there playing a crossword game.
Oh, I do it every night, and I listen to a podcast. I have some stupid game on. I do the blue light bit where you turn the blue light filter on, so, you know, the screen isn't supposed to screw with your eyes at that point. No. And usually about 20 to 30 minutes into whatever I'm listening to, I pause it and I fall asleep. It's just over with. I'm getting too tired.
It's a routine.
My eyes can't stay open.
They can't stay open because it's literally light out.
Right. And I listened to a full podcast that night, and I'm like, God, I'm still not asleep. Okay, I guess I'll start another podcast. And I listened to that whole podcast. Jesus. Now it's like, what the hell is happening? It's like 6:30. And so I'm just trying to go to sleep, and now I'm pissed at myself for staying up so late. And I'm kind of tossing and turning around. And then obviously, you know, the sun is up, and my room is a little bit brighter than it normally is, and I have problems getting to sleep. Once I'm asleep, I'm out, but I have problems getting to sleep. So
we need to
horrible.
Yeah, we need to get you fixed.
But I was fine last night, so I went to bed a little bit early, woke up earlier than I have been, got a early start on the day.
Maybe that's been the reads, though. Maybe that's why the reads have suffered, because you're up to
the reads have suffered because. For two reasons. Number one, because I'm not cutting them up the way they should be cut up, because I'm doing a little bit faster because we got so much going on. And some of the sentence structures have been bad from some of the listeners. So I would say 50% of those are my fault. 50% are the emailer's fault.
We've definitely had some sentence structure ones where
any way I can pass the buck.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. But you would think like someone had just been in the country for 6 months and they're writing like emails, and it's just like, what is it? Maybe like the time I remember I started college and I was in this English class, and they're like, all right, we're going to do this, We're going to do this essay here to kind of gauge where you're at. I wrote this essay. The teacher pulled me aside after. He's like, so.
Oh, no.
This would probably be equivalent to like English 098. And it was just it was a run-on thing. It was a whole run-on thing. And then I fixed it, and then I was like, you know, I was above level. Then I'm getting A's and stuff like that. But I wasn't trying. I don't remember what it was, but I'm telling you, Bugs, it was a one-page run-on sentence. And he was just like why don't we try this again?
In college, we need punctuation.
Yeah, exactly. We need sentence structure.
Messages.
Yeah,
okay.
Sentence structure. Similar thing to what James had to tell me the first time I wrote an article for RotoWire. He was just like, so, I was like, I'm a podcaster. I'm a radio guy. That's what I do. Let's get to Melvin Gordon. So on a scale of 1 to 10, what is the actual worry? Like, are you going to be one of these people that's like, we knew the possibility to hold out. What are we all making a big deal about? Or are you going to see this for what it is and go, I'm scared. And so what's your 1 to 10 level of fear with Melvin Gordon right now?
I would say it's probably, I mean, I'm waffling. It'd have to be a 5 for me.
That's the most waffle answer.
I understand, but it's the beginning of the situation. We've heard literally no news outside of if he doesn't get a new deal, he's not going to come back. And that's just I don't even know how to go about looking at that. It's just whatever it is. The thing is, I don't have Melvin Gordon in my rankings very high anyway. So for me, I'm not going to be a guy drafting Melvin Gordon where he's going anyway.
What's your problem? Why don't you like Melvin Gordon?
I've got David Johnson over him, and I've got Todd Gurley over him. And most people don't. He's 5 on almost everybody's rankings.
Yeah,
right?
That was me a couple days ago.
So, before this news came down, I had him there anyway. Now, to be honest, he's falling down to a level of where I would draft him. Because of the panic. So I think I'm just going to ignore this information again. Like I did with really? Le'Veon Bell. Now, it absolutely burned me last year with Bell, but I just can't see the Chargers not figuring this stuff out before the season starts. So,
I mean, here's the positive thing. And this is one of the pushes that, you know, we would always say, like, you're going to do anything for big money or that's most important. Maybe don't draft in July, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
Maybe don't draft in July.
But we've got big, you know, things going on. Scott Fishbowl's going on right now. All those, you know, a lot of slow drafts, you know, best balls are going on right now.
No,
all I'm saying is I'm not ignoring Todd Gurley. I almost said I'm not ignoring Melvin Gordon because of this holdout. I think I think the situation will get straightened out whether he gets traded or they give him the contract. So I think that this will get figured out before the season starts. I don't anticipate us having a Le'Veon Bell situation again. I think it's going to be just fine. So I'm not going to push him too far off. I have him at, you know, the middle of my tier two before this. Maybe I put him at the bottom of my tier two now. But
so here's the move that I did. To your point, I had him at the top of tier two before, like walking into this. Like tier one was just what it was. And in that tier, I had Gurley, David Johnson, and him. And then we moved on to kind of a new tier. The new structure of where I've gone is, I mean, I'm in your camp for the most part. Like, let news tell me differently. But, like, Todd Gurley is just, give me a break, man. Like, Todd Gurley at 5, I just don't care what other people say. Todd Gurley at 5 is all good. So it's Saul Goodman to me. David Johnson, I let jump. And it's PPR based, of course. I actually think David Johnson and Melvin Gordon share a lot of the same similarities as far as like maximization of touches. And the offense a little bit more explosive now in Arizona that I'm comfortable with a rebound. Here is the big move that I had to contemplate. And there are some other guys that, you know, Lev Bell is a tough one. He's kind of he's hard to get behind in New York while also seeing a little bit of value. Mixon is kind of bland to me. He's fine. He's just kind of a bland pick. I really like Nick Chubb, and there's some new news to get excited about Damian Williams. But the true test to me was James Conner versus Melvin Gordon. And, you know, call me a sucker for some of the news right now, because at this point, like, we're not watching games. You know, we're not into major practices. So we can kind of float around. And my float around process has been around what role is James Conner truthfully going to sit in that offense? It's going to be significant, but is it going to be the biggest piece, and that's important. Are they going to give him, I don't know, you know, 19, 18 carries a game with 4 or 5 catches? If I'm getting that, I'm comfortable. And the words, you know, his more recent words of being the guy in the offense makes me feel good. So I was battling between Connor and Melvin Gordon, and I decided that Melvin Gordon is the bottom of, James Connor moved to the bottom of my tier 2, and Melvin Gordon starts my tier 3. So he's running back number 8.
Okay.
Above Lev Bell, though.
Above Lev Bell. All right. Well,
because I'm not done. I'm not done with him.
Yeah, my tier 2 is a little bit bigger than yours. So him being at the bottom of my tier 2 makes him RB10 for me.
Okay. Well, so you have him a couple. So who are the backs? Because I have Connor, Johnson, Gurley, and the obvious ahead. Who are the two backs you have above Gordon right now? Let me guess. Is it Bell and Mixon?
Bell and Mixon, yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Are you? What about Bell with New York? We've spent a lot of time talking about Bell in New York lately.
Yes, and I understand everyone's concern. The reason I'm going to have Bell up there is because I just think that when you look at New York, there's no one else you can put back there. If Le'Veon Bell is on your team, you can't pull Le'Veon Bell and put in Elijah McGuire.
But Gase has also proven, like, just because you don't have someone behind there, he can also just not use him.
I understand that, but I think that if Bell was still with Pittsburgh, I'd have him up in the top 4, you know, top 4, top 5. I put him in tier 1.
Yeah, I agree.
He'd be a top 5 back.
Yeah, he'd be under.
So
Kamara.
I think I'm already I'm already pushing him down for that, and for I think that I don't want to double count it, right? Like, I'm moving him down for moving to the Jets. So that makes him, instead of 5, now he's my 8, you know?
Yeah.
So I just can't. I think the guys that I have behind him, you know, in the next tier, the Fournettes, the Max, the Williams, the Chubbs, Cook, you know, guys like that, I think those guys all come with some type of either injury thing, a usage thing,
yeah,
or they haven't proven it.
You know, it's funny because I was going to do, I always rail on you about this, but there is this element, like Bogman loves to poke holes. You're the hole poker. And uh-huh. Sometimes, you know, so like what I make fun of you about is poking holes just to poke. Please don't. Like, you're poking holes sometimes just to poke holes in conversations, but there is a literal look at RB, let's say 5 to probably RB12, where you can go and look and you can say, all right, Todd Gurley, the leg issues, David Johnson, obvious issues, injury issues that have followed him in new offense, James Conner, they're talking about Jalen Samuels being a bigger piece. You've got the Melvin Gordon, Lev Bell with New York and Gase, Joe Mixon losing the offensive line, Nick Chubb with Kareem Hunt the back end of the year, Damian Williams and the untrustability, and Dalvin Cook with the injuries. All of those, it's not even just speak. It's not poking holes. It's actually every single one of them are legitimate concerns. So what I think the balance becomes, all right, do you start to tier? You know, what risk is bigger than the other? And do you also have to look at this and go, all right, man, you know what? Hands up. These are eight players that all have risk that maybe, you know, little inch here, little inch there between the differences between them. They're all so risky. Let's just close our eyes and let's stop thinking about what this risk of the could be's, and let's just draft the most talented players, which by that standard, I would think move Melvin Gordon back up. I mean, do you see that? Are you weighting the concerns in these territories? Are you waiting like, all right, well, you know, Todd Gurley's injury. I know that's not the case. Like, you know what I'm saying here?
Yeah,
like, are you weighting the different variations of their concern?
The thing to me is my tier 2 is all guys that have had enormous seasons before and done it for a full season. And I would not be surprised really to see any of these guys end up being, a top 3 or 4 running back. So it's guys that have done it before, like Todd Gurley, like Melvin Gordon, like David Johnson, former number 1 overall pick, and Bell. So the only two guys that haven't done it but were really good last couple seasons, Connor was huge last year, and Mixon was huge last year. Everybody else comes with a concern of not only they can have great years, but I've never seen them do it for a full season before. It's the you know, Fournette's been injured, Cook has been injured, you know, Jacobs is a rookie, you know, guys like that. Nick Chubb got his at the end of last season, plus he has Kareem Hunt. I think there is a, I haven't seen them do it, plus another lingering issue for the rest of the players. I think everybody else, those other guys, come with one thing. You know, it's the knee for Gurley. It is the holdout for Gordon. It's the role for Connor. You know, it's the switching teams and offenses for Bell. It's one thing.
Yeah.
You know, everybody else comes with one thing plus.
Yeah, it's interesting because, yeah, to that point, like, Williams, Connor, and Mixon are actually the biggest question marks are dipped in speculation. You know, right. It's just speculation. That's all that it is, where there's quantifiable things with some of the other guys. I mean, maybe Lev Bell, you could take that. It's just it's muddied a bit, a high running back year where I wonder if now Melvin Gordon, not that Melvin Gordon already wasn't kind of the tier, because after the first like four, that's where you'd start to see DeAndre Hopkins. But I feel like Gordon's going to represent maybe another tier where someone's going to look and they're going to like, well, I could take Gordon or I could take Julio Jones. I think you're going to see a little bit more of that. So when we come back, we can finish up the topic with Melvin Gordon and another running back that has disclosed some more injury stuff. So we might have some more late round values. So don't go anywhere. More in this league coming up.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
I know how you're feeling right now.
Stop it, don't do that.
I'm here for you.
Oh. In this league.
Welcome back. It is In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. 3 hours of IPL. So much fun. You can find us on Twitter at IsItTheWelsh, at Bogdan Sports, and of course, patreon.com/ITL Army. Secret shows, group me rooms, ranks, access, all of that stuff. A little squirrely this week, dealing with some stuff. Might be dipped out on an episode or so. We'll just see how it all goes. And so I missed my chat again, Bogman, but we make do. We'll make good on everything. So just go check us out, patreon.com/ITL Army. Support us, upgrade your fantasy experience, and be a part of our audio universe if that is your thing. Melvin Gordon. Okay, so we've talked about the rank. I was going to keep going with the rank, but we could probably just keep going on and on and on.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the trade feasibility. So this part of the equation. Now, I don't know or recognize the Chargers as being a team like the Steelers, where the Steelers are openly just like, oh, you like money? No, we're not going to give you money ever. You're not going to dictate us, and they're just not going to pay guys. I don't know the Chargers necessarily of being that, and I feel like Melvin Gordon's a pretty likable guy. I remember he did that video. Remember he was like, it wasn't in a car in Baltimore, and then he was talking to some Uber driver, and they were talking about the Ravens, and like, and then he was just like, hey, by the way, I'm the running back, Melvin Gordon, because he started asking, he was like, what do you think about that running back in the Chargers? Like, he's kind of like a fun-loving guy. So I don't know that there's bad blood. I don't know if the Chargers won't want to not pay him.
I think it's purely a business decision.
Yeah, it's clearly a business decision, but
you haven't heard the crap that you heard about Le'Veon Bell. You know, about a guy like Melvin Gordon ever. You know, it's always been above board. So I'm guessing this is purely money.
Do you think that the Chargers are going to not pay him? Do you think we're going to get to a spot where the Chargers are going to be like, listen, we're just not going to invest in a running back. Here's your issues, blah, blah, blah. Like, do you think they pay him?
I think it's a possibility because
they don't or do.
That they don't, because okay. Austin Eckler's done a great job with this team, and Justin Jackson looked pretty good last season. So it's not like they have no one out there. So I think that, you know, it's not that Melvin Gordon is replaceable by any stretch of the imagination, but I think if they say, well, it's either invest in this guy and pay him a big chunk of money for the next couple years. We don't know how much longer Phillip Rivers has. So maybe they do it just to, you know, get in this window with Rivers still at the helm, or Maybe you say, you know what? We're going to go with Eckler. We're going to go with Jackson, and we're going to take a pick.
Yeah, see, and then
take a second round pick.
And those are like a lot of the big questions are, would the team be comfortable being like, we're not going to pay you, and we'll also just, you can sit out. Like, we're going to call your bluff and then let him sit out and not do anything. Or would they acquiesce and say, hey, listen, we're not going to pay you because of that. We respect you. We will trade you. So let's have a little fun here and let's speculate. And I started the process of looking here. Let's find our top three teams that would make sense for Melvin Gordon to be traded to. Now, I'm going to, the first one that I found, I'm going to drop because I think it makes the most sense that they would trade with. Because I want to immediately eliminate the Kansas City Chiefs. Because yeah, they would make all the sense in the world. Hell no, that's happening.
Nope, not that, happening.
Never happening. But the Indianapolis Colts, Bogman. What do you think about that? I know they like Marlon Mack and they got Nyheim Hines. But still.
Yeah, but I mean,
they love to trade for running backs. Is there anything that Ursay loves more than trading for running backs and tweeting about it?
No comment. I almost got myself in trouble there. Yes. Okay. So I love that situation. I think that'd be great because I've always said, like, as successful as Marlon Mack has been, Marlon Mack is kind of a jag. You know, he's better than just a guy. But I wouldn't put him above average as far as running backs in the NFL go. But he's behind that revamped offensive line on this great offense with Andrew Luck at the helm with tons of targets and, you know, just a high powered offense. So, you know, he doesn't have to face stack boxes or anything. I think if you put Marlon Mack in Jacksonville, everyone talks about what a loser he is. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I think that would be a great move because then, you know, as much as you like Nyheim Hines, Nyheim Hines doesn't have to be on the field on third downs and stuff like that because Melvin Gordon can do.
Or it could be Nyheim Hines and a pick for Melvin
right.
Gordon.
Whatever it is. I think they already kind of have Hines and Eckler. So I think that
it's Marlon
probably
Mack.
Be Mack in a pick. Okay. Right. Something like that. But I love that deal.
All right.
I think that's a great spot.
Number two. And these are all my speculation, by the way. Number two. Okay. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who have Peyton Barber and Ronald Jones.
One.
Okay, that's because I think they could just move Ronald Jones. It could be a young running back that gets moved, that there would be control. The Chargers might like the control, so there could be a pick. It could not involve any of them. It might not involve a Barber or a Jones, and it could just be a straight-up pick. But Melvin Gordon screams as the running back that would have Bruce Arians excited for the rest of his tenure.
I love this move. I think that this would be super, super smart. You know, this is a perfect fit, too, because Melvin Gordon's so good at catching the ball out of the backfield. And with Bruce Arians being the head coach in Tampa Bay, there's going to be a lot of opportunities to catch the ball. I really, really like that one. That's my number one.
Yeah, I think that one makes the most sense because I think Arians would be aggressive. There's a window. They're trying to build. They've got Evans. They've got Winston. They don't have a true leader. They may like Ronald Jones, but you trade him instantly and then you would pay him. I don't know what contractually, I don't know what the Bucs can do right now. Now, here's number three. And follow me here. The San Francisco 49ers. Now, they've got a million
wishful
running backs.
Thinking.
No, I know it is. But no, but follow me. I was going through all the listing here. I mean, you could say the Seahawks and I will allow you to tag in the Seahawks if you would like to after this. But follow me here for 1 second. Because the logic is this with the San Francisco 49ers. Yes, they have a bunch of running backs. No, they don't have a workhorse or a true guy. But Jerick McKinnon is expendable with the contract. Matt Breida has been injured, and they have Tevin Coleman. They're going to want multi-backs anyways, and they went after Le'Veon Bell. It was noted that they were in pursuit of Le'Veon Bell. So in an instant like this, a guy like a Jerick McKinnon could move to the Chargers. He could play a Melvin Gordon role in a three-back system there. Or they could move a guy like Matt Breida, cut McKinnon, and bottom line, it leaves the 49ers with Gordon and Coleman as a two-back system in San Francisco.
I mean, I love the idea of having Melvin Gordon play in a Kyle Shanahan offense. I think it's
ridiculous.
Would be so fun to watch. But I just, with the way they have their running back set up, you know, they already got Coleman. They're confident in McKinnon coming back from his injury.
Low investment on every single one of those backs. They still have money to spend. And like I said, it's kind of built around me because they were going after. They were going after Le'Veon Bell. They approached
right.
him.
Right, but they it also shows that they weren't they weren't willing to break the bank for Bell.
Melvin Gordon younger.
So what's that?
Melvin Gordon's younger though. I mean, Melvin Gordon, yeah. I think fits the scheme. I mean, not that Le'Veon Bell wouldn't, but I think he fits it even more. Now it is wishful thinking on my part. So what I ask you then, as my top three here, do you have another team to submit that would make more sense?
Okay. To be honest with you. I think number one would be the Houston Texans.
All right. Yeah, I'm looking at them, Miller and Foreman. That makes sense.
Right. Miller is old. Foreman, I like, and I'd love to see him get a chance, hook him, you know, great Texas Longhorn. But if you want to immediately solve that situation and become one of the true high-powered offenses in the NFL, then I think it's a great situation to go and get a guy like Melvin Gordon. Now, this would be contingent on the Chargers feeling like they're okay at running back, because you're not going to get anything back.
And also, I would say this is one thing I wanted to push, which gives, I think, the edge back to Tampa. And then my little fleeting San Francisco 49er thing is, you know, we bring up the Colts, we bring up Houston. These are AFC. Like, do you really think they would want to move this guy into the AFC? I'm not so sure they would want to do that. You see this often. They may actively want to move him to the NFC.
Yeah, they could, but I also think they don't care. Like, if you got to play Melvin Gordon in the playoffs, you got to play him in the playoffs, right? So, to be honest, I don't even know if the Texans and Chargers play each other this season. So, if you got to play him in the playoffs, that's just how you're going to deal with it. So, if this is the best move for you, you're getting, you know, if they're going to offer you a second when no one else is going to offer you more than a third, you got to take the highest pick. You know what I mean?
All right.
How about this deal? He's saying that he's not disgruntled now, but if you want to just flip talent for talent, how about Melvin Gordon to the Jacksonville Jaguars straight up for Leonard Fournette?
Yeah, I think that makes some sense.
I think that
Fournette just does not fit the system, but
he would fit anywhere. Fournette's a good enough back to play.
But he also complements Eckler. Like, those two are completely two different backs, which, if you want to have a complementary back system, I get that. I actually get that a lot. First down, Leonard Fournette. Goal line, Leonard Fournette. Austin Eckler gets a bigger role on the offense. Maybe that allows Fournette to be on the field a little bit less and healthy. I mean, absolutely.
And the last one is wishful thinking, because they can't afford it because they gave so much money to Aaron Rodgers, but the Green Bay Packers have been looking for a running back for a long time.
Huh.
So
what about Aaron Jones?
Who cares? I love Aaron Jones, but he's been injured and he's not the talent that Melvin Gordon is.
Oh, isn't Melvin Gordon? Wasn't he Wisconsin too?
Yes. Ooh, Wisconsin.
Maybe they trade Aaron Jones for Melvin Gordon. Maybe that's how.
I think that would be definitely part of it. I think Aaron Jones would go, be like Aaron Jones and whatever, a fourth round pick.
Yeah, like a low pick, because the Packers would argue like they also still have to pay Melvin Gordon.
Right, exactly. And I don't even know if that's feasible as far as salary cap stuff goes. But I would love to see Melvin Gordon riding shotgun right next to Aaron Rodgers. That'd be a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, that would be really interesting. Now, one that we could have brought up but didn't, because they've got their back of the future, but there are some there's some stuff that's popped up, is the Washington Redskins would always make sense, but they have Darius Geis. But Darius Geis disclosed, Thursday, Friday? I don't know. The news came out, 106 The Fan's Eric Hawksworth reported that Darius Geis suffered a hamstring injury while rehabbing and is now questionable for the beginning of training camp. And this is after, you know, he's coming off of the torn ACL. So that puts some serious fear in people drafting Darius Geis. I have been kind of, not even anti-Geis, but I'm very worried about his role long-term because of the injuries and how much he would be pressed. You have been a big proponent of Adrian Peterson and drafting him late, and that makes a lot of sense. Doesn't mean Darius Geis isn't still the guy late, but Adrian Peterson now looks even better early on this year, as Darius Geis is probably going to be babied, and we should see a pretty massive hit. I would be shocked if we don't see massive, as in like at least a round and a half drop on Darius Geis's ADP.
Yeah, which, speaking of, I think both of our general suggestions would be to stay away from this situation.
If
you can.
Sure.
Right? I mean, I don't. On the Black Book show with Pizapia, I've used the phrase, I'd rather go Christmas fishing with Scott Peterson than draft a Redskins running back. But Peterson has fallen so far on occasion to where I feel like I would have to take him. And I feel like this is probably going to be a situation where you see the weird split, where it's either a game-by-game basis, whoever's running better.
This team also has Chris Thompson. I mean, people forget about Chris Thompson, man.
Also has Chris Thompson. That is a reason why you want to stay away from this Redskins running back situation. And when are they going to switch to from Case Keenum over to Dwayne Haskins?
Yeah.
And then is he going to be ineffective, or are they going to start having nine guys in the box? I mean, this is like, it could get to the point where even if it is Geis the whole second half of the season, he's going to be facing 9-10 man boxes, just like Leonard Fournette has been doing in Jacksonville. You know, really great rookie year, had a couple, he was dinged up a little bit at the end, but he was really good because Blake Bortles was playing well. Well, last year, once again, he got dinged up, but he didn't look nearly as good because Blake Bortles was playing terrible. So they're like, oh, well, we know they're going to hand the ball to Leonard Fournette 8 million times, so let's just stack the box. It's kind of the same situation here.
And Geis doesn't come at much of a discount either. That's a big problem. Like, he never really has.
There's always a Geis guy in your league. Yeah. There's someone that's going, well, why would I take Chris Carson when I could have Geis? He's got tons of upside.
They're looking at the guys that are around him, I'm not going to include, I'm looking at Fantasy Pros on their ranks, I'm not going to include David Montgomery in that, but to what you're saying, they're going to see Carson, they're going to see Kenyon Drake, Lamar Miller, Tevin Coleman, Adarius Geis.
Well, what's Geis's rank upside on Fantasy Pros?
It's 29.
29. Okay.
Yeah. I'm on standards. So let me go to PPR.
Go to PPR. It'll actually fall. I think that's probably about right.
31.
But I'm actually surprised that it's in line. And I bet you a lot of people have dropped him in the last couple of days. Where is Peterson? He might be pretty
Scott
far
or down. Adrian?
Adrian.
Okay. Just because you brought it up. 48. So he's moved up.
Yeah.
He's definitely moved up.
And I have him much higher than that. And I think, yeah, you do too. So,
yeah, but Darius Geis at 31, he's still in that range of people. But now you throw in like James White and Tariq Cohen above. But people are looking at Darius Geis and they're going, well, I'm going to go with the upside shot here over steady Eddies like a Lamar Miller or, you know, Coleman, some questions around Carson. But I still think there's guys under him. It's like I look at Geis and I'd rather take the shot with Miles Sanders than I would with Darius Geis.
Right.
Yeah, I think my ranks reflect it. By the way, Austin Eckler has moved up to 41, right below Ronald Jones.
Okay, I mean, already. I had him higher than that to start. So I just Melvin Gordon didn't get a lot of run inside the 20, you know. So all of his touchdowns were coming from kind of far out because Eckler kind of got that red zone run. And that was why I had Gordon behind a little bit. I still think this situation is going to get solved. I mean, we're talking about it in, you know, the middle of July. The season starts in September. So they've got, you know, 2 months pretty much to get this thing right. I think they're going to figure it out by then. But if you're drafting right now, you got to take all this into consideration. You got to take because nobody did with Bell last year and he burned so many people. No one even flinched at moving him. And I took him at 1 in one of our slow drafts in August over Todd Gurley, and obviously did not work out for me. I traded for him in a keeper league last year. Going to work out for me this year, but it sure didn't last year. So I think because we've all been burned a little bit, you got to know, and you got to push him down just a touch. So,
well, and this is the interesting time of the year where, you know, the there's been a baseline that's been created, and now we're going to see where the deals move away and where, you know, there's going to be some bomb out players. I mean, Damian Williams might have come at a little bit of a discount early on. That's going to continue to go away. Melvin Gordon might be created a little bit of a value, but now Austin Eckler, Adrian Peterson, those guys are going to come at higher costs. People are going to be now Justin Jackson moves himself up into a relative range if this happens. And Darius Geis hopefully moves down. And one way or the other, what we hope is that it starts to create an actual discount if it creates the actual discount, then we're in a good spot, because maybe he starts to really drop, he gets down into the low 30s, and all of a sudden, hey, he's back for camp, all is good, this worry was for naught. But you should be worried about Melvin Gordon, you should be worried about Darius Geis. We've been burned before, and there's a lot of steady eddies that are out there, so don't freak out. All right, that's the end of hour one. We'll be back coming up in hour two. We've got a whole bunch more to talk about, kind of a little bit of a big trade that went down in basketball, and probably, I don't know, maybe more football, baseball. Just stick around, you'll find out. We'll be back.